I'm Mark Haney. I'm president of Kentucky Farm Bureau, and I certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you this morning for this event. It's on behalf of our organization, our membership, our board of directors, and all those involved in our two companies, our federation and our insurance company. We want to say welcome here, and we appreciate your involvement. We're just very fortunate this morning to have Attorney General Daniel Cameron here with us today. He is the Republican candidate running for governor. Daniel currently serves as the 51st Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Kentucky after winning nearly 58% of the vote in 113 of 120 counties in his last election. General Cameron grew up in Elizabethtown, where he graduated from John Hardin High School. After graduation, he attended the University of Louisville, where he played football for the Cardinals. Though he likes to say and remind everyone that he had the best seat in the house, and most times it was maybe on the bench. And but after graduating from the Lewis D. Brandeis School of Law, he clerked for a federal judge. A few years after clerking, Daniel served in Washington, D.C. as legal counsel to United States Senator Mitch McConnell, and there he helped with the confirmation process for President Trump's conservative federal judges, including Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. Daniel and his wife, Mackenzie, live in the Louisville area, and they welcomed their first child, Theodore, into the world in 2022. So we want to welcome not only General Cameron, but also Senator Robin Mills that's with us today, and the campaign staff of your campaign that's with us today. Thank you for being here. I'd like to welcome the Kentucky Farm Bureau Board of Directors that are here in the room today. Would our board stand? Let people realize who our board is. Yeah, thank you. These group of folks really spend a lot of time in their daily lives working for the farm families of Kentucky, and I appreciate all that they do. We also have with us, along with the executive committee, with us here today, our first vice president, Eddie Milton, our second vice president, Sharon Furches. We also have our executive vice president, Drew Graham, down front. We also have our executive vice president and CEO of our insurance company, John Sparrow. We have a lot of our vice presidents, our staff from both companies here with us today, and we're very appreciative of that. I'd like to also welcome our friends and partners that we have and from our Kentucky commodity organizations. They're with us today, and I appreciate that. If you're with a commodity group, would you stand to be recognized today? Thank you for being here. Appreciate you being a part of this. And we also want to acknowledge the media that we have in the room today. Thank you for making this part of your day and covering this event. The purpose of these forums really is to allow our members, our board, and our individuals involved to hear directly from the candidate for this office on where they stand on issues that's very important to agriculture, and most importantly, rural Kentucky, which is very important to us. Today's program will begin with Attorney General Cameron making a few opening remarks, and then you'll hear from our executive committee, who will present some topics. The topics for today's forum are the state budget, taxation, infrastructure, workforce development, and law enforcement. These topics are selected because and from our priority issues. Then we will end with the Attorney General making some closing remarks of ever how he chooses, and then we will wrap up from there. So with that, General Cameron, you're welcome to speak from the podium, stand, sit, whatever you'd like to do.
Of course.
And right after that, the first question will come from Eddie Milton, our first vice president. So give a warm welcome to our Attorney General to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all so much. It is such an honor to be here with you this morning. Mark, thank you for your stewardship and leadership, and appreciate that warm welcome and kind introduction. Eddie, Sharon, thank you all as well, in which you serve this wonderful organization. Drew, appreciate everything you do in terms of advancing the ball for so many agricultural products and policies. I'm grateful for you. And then my good friend John Sparrow, who has not only been somebody who has seen me grow up as a kid in Hardin County, but has taken a great leadership position here, and so grateful for your friendship and your spiritual mentorship as well. And thank you to everyone that has decided to be here today to talk a little bit about this race for governor. I hope it says a lot to you all that I made a decision and a judgment to be here today, because I respect you and I'm grateful for what you do. And let me just at the beginning, at the outset, say thank you. Thank you for serving and feeding our communities, for sacrificing daily to make sure that there's food on our tables here, not only in the Commonwealth, but across the country. Thank you for your service to this Commonwealth. And I know it's not easy. Your days are somewhat dependent on the weather, dependent on whether your crops happen to be growing the way that they're supposed to, and what the good Lord decides to do on a daily basis. But yet you persevere, and you make the difficult and challenging decisions every day to get up and make our Commonwealth better. And to you, I say thank you, and I'm appreciative. And that's why I'm here this morning, because I value you, I respect you, and I want to share a little bit about our vision for the Commonwealth. Now, I will tell you, my opponent did not show up today, and you all obviously know that. Of course, he will show up at the ham breakfast here in a few weeks, and he'll lecture you on your values and tell you what his values are and try to bully you into thinking that your position and value should be different. But I hope that you recognize that is not the way in which I operate, and I stand firmly with your values. I respect your values. You'll never have to worry about Daniel Cameron as governor coming to your ham breakfast or any other event and telling you that you need to change your values, because your values reflect the values of the men, women, and children of all 120 counties. And let me also say something about your values. Your values were responding to the tornadoes that ripped through West Kentucky. Your values were John Sparrow the morning after, making its way down to places like Mayfield and Muhlenberg County and Dawson Springs, because he understood that our values are helping our neighbors. It's about Darren Benton, who in Muhlenberg County is an agent, handing out food and making sure folks had some security in the midst of great chaos and challenge. That is your values. And you know, a lot of you all are probably familiar. There was a song recently came out from Jason Aldean, "Try That in a Small Town." And there was a lot of conversation that has happened around that song. I happen to like it quite a bit. But if you paid attention to that entire song, at the end, Jason Aldean chose to highlight somebody. And it was the farming community, because they made a decision to stop what they were doing to help a neighbor. That is symbolic of what you all on a daily basis decide to do, is you help your neighbor, whether it's in your county or any of our 120 counties. And so I am grateful for you, and I'm grateful for your values. And let me just assure you that this race will largely be built on the idea of two contrasting visions for what Kentucky will look like over the remainder of this decade. And we've seen a vision from Andy Beshear that is inconsistent with the values of the men, women, and children of our 120 counties. What we've seen from Andy Beshear is someone that, rather than stand with the values of the folks that are in this room and represent the folks in our 120 counties, he would rather stand with Joe Biden and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Rather than stand for your values and support the men and women of our law enforcement community, he's made it harder for them to do their jobs. In 2020, he had a decision to make, and the decision that Andy Beshear decided on was to unlock our jails and lock our schools. And he let out roughly 2,000 individuals, and a third of those recommitted offenses here in our Commonwealth, making it harder for law enforcement communities to do their job and for the men and women and children in our 120 counties to feel safe. And then when we needed it most, and we often talk about a governor who is compassionate, but when we needed it most, there's nothing compassionate about a governor that decided to shut down our churches. There's nothing compassionate about a governor who tried to force Evans Orchard and so many other family farm-owned businesses here in Kentucky, tried to shut them down, even though he was willing to allow big businesses to stay open. And I was proud to work alongside our great Ag Commissioner Ryan Quarles in making sure we kept Evans Orchard open and so many other orchards and small family farms open, because it was about your constitutional rights. It was about allowing and making sure that farms, big or small, or businesses, big or small, or citizens, just having your constitutional rights, making sure that those were secured in our Commonwealth. And I hope you've recognized as well that I've tried to put my money where my mouth is when I talk about the responsibility that as a governor I will have to make sure we have a relationship with all 120 counties. And that's why I'm delighted to have Robbie Mills on our ticket working as our next lieutenant governor, because he represents Henderson County. He understands what a lot of you all face in this room. Whether it's inflationary pressures from a Biden administration, or whether it's the EPA that is trying to regulate streams and ponds on your farms. I was proud to be a part of a coalition that went into federal court and got that WOTUS rule recently stopped, because again, you all have it difficult enough without the heavy hand of the federal government trying to regulate the ponds and streams on your farms. So I hope you know, whether it is Ryan Quarles, or I'm a little biased, Jonathan Schell, you are going to have a governor and a lieutenant governor in Robbie Mills. It's going to work day in and day out to fight for your values, to make sure that we have a world-class education system, one in which our schools are about reading, writing, and math, and they're not incubators for liberal and progressive ideas. We're going to make sure we keep our streets safe from crime and drugs. Make sure we have a tax environment that continues to attract folks into this state rather than push them away. It makes it easier for you all, and Mark talks a lot about this, generational farming, passing on to the next generation. I know David Givens just worked on some legislation in 2019 that helped with that. Know that you're going to have a champion that's going to continue to work on those issues for you. We've got 15 weeks between now and the November 7th election. I hope all of you in this room will make a judgment and a decision to join us, because together we can have a Commonwealth that is the best and brightest version of itself. A Commonwealth that is a shining city on a hill. A Commonwealth that is a model and example for the rest of the country to follow. Hope you'll join us. May God bless you and God bless our Commonwealth. Thank you.
Well, thank you, General Cameron, for coming out today and being here and bringing my state senator with you today, Robbie Mills. So we're glad to see him on the ticket. And thank you for acknowledging agriculture here today and coming, and I think it says a lot about our board of directors and all the commodity groups across the state that have come in here today to talk about agriculture and the priorities that we have as we move forward into this election season. Our first topic is about the state budget, and there are a lot of priorities in that state budget that are important to our rural communities and also to agriculture. So I have two questions here that I'd like to ask you about that, if you would, please. So as you know, the first thing the governor does early on as we start into a session, this long session that we have coming up, that the state budget, it'll be the governor's job to present a state budget to the General Assembly. What will be some of your funding priorities that you have for the state budget? And then the second piece of that legislation, or this question today, is, you know, the master settlement agreement that's come out, 50% of that money has went into the Agriculture Development Fund. And so we'd like to know what you think about how you would envision those funds being used. They've been so critical to agriculture and things that we've done in all of our groups. And so I'd like to know what you would think about as you envision those funds and how they're used.
Well, Eddie, thank you for that question. And let me just take the second one first. You will certainly have a governor that will support the 50% of that master settlement continuing to go to diversification in agriculture, whether it's through the Ag Development Board, whether it's from the Ag Office, Policy Office, or Ag Corporation for funding. And so we will continue to make sure that that happens. I certainly want to make sure that we have a strong relationship with our legislature. That's why I put Robbie Mills on our ticket, because he has the breadth of relationships that are important and will be a great asset in ensuring that those master settlement dollars continue to, at least through the 50%, continue to go into those three different buckets. In addition to that, I think it should be noted as well that the legislature, because of the politicization, if you will, of what the governor has tried to do over these last 3 years, had to take a part of the Ag Policy Office from him. And I think it's unfortunate because he has no relationships with our legislature. He has no relationship with Ryan Quarles. I hope to strengthen that relationship and get back to a regular process as it relates to our budget. As you noted, it is the first thing that is a priority for a governor. There's a short window, if you will, between when a governor is sworn in and when they have to present a budget. And so I want to get back to a regular process. Robbie's going to help me with that in ensuring the legislature is involved. You often hear, whether it's from President Stivers or Robbie Mills or David Givens, that there's no communication between the governor and the legislature. If we want to make this Commonwealth, as I talked about earlier, the best and brightest version of itself, everybody's got to be rowing in the same direction. And we haven't had that over these last 3.5 years. And so I assure you, when it comes to the budget, we will get back to regular order. In terms of priorities, I think it's going to be really important that we send a strong signal that here in Kentucky, we are going to be a law and order commonwealth. And what I mean by that is, over the course of the last 3 years, we've seen an increase in violent crime across our commonwealth. And that's just not in our major cities. You all know this. It is spiked in our rural areas as well. So anything that we can do to make sure that law enforcement feels supported and we can recruit and retain folks within our law enforcement community, and we can make penalties stiffer, that's going to help. And so we're going to prioritize making sure that there is money within our budget to help our law enforcement community. Again, as I noted earlier, any tax credits that exist as it relates to the farming community, we're going to make sure that those hold up. And we're also going to look for additional ways in which we can help, whether it's through technology or the issue I talked about earlier, generational farming. What can we do in government to respond to those pressures that exist? And what can I do as the leader of a state? I know, obviously, a state or death tax, if you will, continues to be a challenge. So I have a responsibility as the governor to make sure that I fight on that front as well.
Thank you.
thank you again for being here on behalf of everyone in the room. You mentioned taxation in your opening comments, and you answered just a little bit of it to Eddie's question, but we know there have been a lot of modifications since 2019 and probably will be more. Two-part question here. What are your thoughts regarding the sales and use tax for agricultural products? Would you support additional items being added to that if they were used toward agriculture, such as electricity? And then what are your thoughts on our state's property tax laws?
Well, on the first, you know, obviously want to be a governor who does everything he can to support the ag community, and that's why I will continue to be in favor of any sales exemptions that exist right now for the farming community on products. Also make sure that what David Givens did in 2019, that doesn't get changed in terms of farmers selling your farms. Make sure that tax credit continues to move forward. And then I will lean on the legislature and Robbie Mills on the issue of whether there are additional exemptions that need to be discussed. That'll be something that I want to go into with the legislature and have a conversation about it. Again, at the end of the day, I want to be responsive to your needs and helpful in any way that I possibly can, because I know that you all are a big contributor to the economic vitality of the state. And so I will work with Robbie and our legislature on different and separate exemptions that might help on that point. And then on the issue of property taxes and what we can do there. Obviously, as a Republican and as a conservative, I want to make sure our property taxes are as low as possible. But I also recognize that our schools and a lot of local entities rely on some of those taxes. And so we'll have to be smart and deliberate about how we approach this. But as a general rule, as a conservative, I want taxes to be low, because the lower taxes are, it's no secret as to why Kentucky has had some of the challenges that we've had. For instance, 30 years ago, roughly, the population of Kentucky, Indiana, and Tennessee was roughly the same. They're now almost double our populations. And I think a lot of that has to do with the tax policies that we've had in place. And so if we can grow our Commonwealth through smart tax policies that reduce our taxes overall, that's what I'm going to be supportive of going forward.
Next subject is infrastructure, and it's been in the news quite a bit lately as we talk about all the infrastructure and things that need to be worked on. And there's so much. We're so fortunate here in Kentucky. We have a lot of interstate highways. We have a great river system here. And, you know, it was noted in our board meeting this morning that our yields in agriculture have gone up substantially with technology that we've got now. And as we get rid of those products, you know, we live in a global market now. And so the products that we grow here in Kentucky are so important that we get those moved out of the state and to an end user, or be able to use trade as those things. There's a few questions that I have here. First off, our rural road fund is very important to us, and it's been a priority of our organization for a number of years that rural and secondary road fund, that we keep that 22.2% of that fund going to our rural and secondary roads, because that's where our farms are, that's where our rural communities are. So would you support us keeping that 22.2%? And then would you be in favor of helping fund some riverport activity, as we've got jewels here in Kentucky with those riverports to be able to get rid of our products? And would you help support those riverports? And do you have any other ideas of how we could use those riverports and fund those?
Well, absolutely. The riverports are exceedingly important, particularly as we're talking about exporting, you know, goods outside of the Commonwealth. And anything we can do to leverage the federal dollars, you know, I certainly want to do, and we'll be very supportive of that as it relates to our riverports. In addition to that, when it comes to transportation in our rural roads and the fund specifically, I will certainly support that 22% continuing to be utilized for that. And let me explain why. The Commonwealth over the last several years has had the fourth highest rate of road fatalities in our country. And a lot of that is driven by our rural roads. And so I firmly believe that we need to make every effort. And I was down in Paducah here recently, and I know that there is a lot of work that continuously is done to our rural roads, but we need to make sure we're doing that to the best of our abilities to keep our families safe. I mean, Mackenzie and I obviously have an 18-month-old at home, and the idea that, you know, there are roads here in Kentucky that are more susceptible to dangerous episodes occurring or accidents occurring is something that we, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, we should care about. And so I will certainly do everything I can to make sure the existing funding continues to go.
Thank you very much.
I will shift gears just a little bit and want to talk about workforce development. Kentucky continues to struggle with that, and last session the General Assembly passed legislation that let Keys money be used in proprietary schools, something that we pushed and our membership told us across the board was very important to them, so we do appreciate that. As governor, what additional measures would you take to ensure that the workforce, students and the workforce, are well trained and skilled to go into the jobs that are so important to agriculture, but also to rural Kentucky in general?
Well, Sharon, I was very excited to see that legislation pass. I think it's important to make sure that, particularly as we want to focus on some of the trades, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal within the last month or so that talked about the need for more trades to be utilized, particularly with some of the projects across the country that are coming online. And I know we'll need that here in Kentucky. And so anything that we can do to increase our workforce participation rate, I'm going to be supportive of. Right now we have the 47th lowest workforce participation rate in the country. That's untenable. We cannot continue on that level simply because, as I noted, there are projects coming online. Where are the employees going to come from? I've talked to chambers in Warren County and across the state about the concerns that they have about where we're going to find folks to fuel these projects. And so as a governor, you can take steps to help. It's not a magic elixir. It's not an end-all, be-all. But one of the things that I can do, and look, we expanded Medicaid coverage here, and I understand from talking to healthcare providers why some of that coverage or expansion was necessary. But when the governor expanded, when Andy Beshear expanded coverage, he expanded it to able-bodied individuals. Yet he put no condition of work requirements on that expansion for able-bodied individuals. Right now, there's essentially three buckets that exist here in Kentucky as it relates to our Medicaid coverage. You got medically necessary, means-tested, and now able-bodied participants. If we want the plan and the coverage to exist and remain solvent for those that are means-tested and medically necessary, we need to make the program as best as possible transitory, something that folks will come off of if they are able-bodied individuals. Again, the governor essentially told people to stay home for almost 2 years and not work and do anything. So we have to establish a culture of work here. One of the first things I will do as governor is make sure, as it relates to able-bodied individuals, make sure that we apply with a waiver with CMS to make able-bodied participants' coverage contingent on work requirements here in the Commonwealth. And that will be one way in which we tackle the workforce issue. I firmly believe that if we continue to get our income tax rate down closer to zero, the more attractive the state becomes for people to want to come here as opposed to going to Tennessee or deciding to stay in Indiana. And so that's something I want to work on with Robbie and others in our legislature to get to zero as quickly as we possibly can. But again, it's about establishing a culture of work. And what we've seen from Andy Beshear is anything but that. And so that will be a first priority for me as governor, is to reestablish that culture of work here in Kentucky.
Thank you so much for that.
General, I'll take the last question here, and you've already expanded a little bit on that, but I'd like to circle back a little bit more because this is an issue that's really, really important all across Kentucky and really all across America right now, and that's support for our law enforcement and how we are really going about that in America. We see that being, honestly, controversial. In some places, law enforcement is not looked upon very well, but in Kentucky, it is, and it is needed. And we want our communities safe. We want our communities to be a place where we can raise our children and our grandchildren and have the total package of rural life. Security is part of that. And certainly we would like to hear your thoughts maybe a little bit deeper on what you would do to secure that, secure funding for law enforcement, and is there legislation that's needed to strengthen support around our police force?
Mark, thank you. I appreciate that question. I mean, all of you all in this room, you have to feel the concern that we see as it relates to the increase in violent crime. And it was just reported, I think, a day or so ago that the Bashir administration was sort of touting that violent crime and our numbers had gone down here in Kentucky, but turns out it wasn't the truth, that they had essentially made the numbers up and have been called on it by the Herald Leader and the Courier Journal. And so we have a challenge as it relates to crime here in Kentucky. And to Mark's point, we want to keep our communities as safe as we possibly can. And the way that we do that is demonstrate from the top a commitment to the brave men and women of our law enforcement community. And as a lot of you probably know, a few weeks ago I unveiled a 12-point plan to help on the issue of public safety. It's the Cameron Public Safety Plan. And a part of that plan is retention and recruitment. There is a challenge with morale amongst the men and women of our law enforcement community. So one of the ways in which the state can help with that is through bonuses, if you will, to ask law enforcement to stay longer or to recruit new members. And this is not a novel idea or novel concept. In fact, I was in Madison County a couple of weeks ago, and the Richmond Police Department is already doing something like that here in the Commonwealth. In addition to that, I think it's important for a governor to lean into these issues. And when I mean lean into it, there's several events that occur during the course of a year that a governor should be a part of, whether it's National Night Out or National Police Week or Back the Blue style events, that a governor should be at the center of. And a governor should be in our schools, touting the importance and the noble responsibility and the opportunities that exist within law enforcement. So I'll be a governor that does that. And then you talk about legislation. Right now, Kentucky is one of the few states that doesn't have a standalone carjacking statute, which blows my mind. It certainly is something, particularly if you live in some of our larger cities and you're concerned about the small crimes and those moving to larger crimes, this is a way to prevent and stop the small things before they become larger. So we need that. We also need to have stiffer and stronger penalties for folks that are peddling drugs, whether it be fentanyl or other opioids that are killing our people. And I believe that if you murder a police officer, the death penalty should be on the table. And so we are looking at different priorities within our public safety plan that are going to help improve the lives of the men, women, and children of our 120 counties. Because if you don't have a safe community, you all know the stories, you've heard them. People sometimes have concerns or reservations about coming to Kentucky because they've heard of some of the increase in crime that we've seen. Yet our governor has turned a blind eye to that. And we need a leader that is going to confront these challenges and is going to fight for your families. Because as I noted earlier, it's not just happening in our urban areas, it is happening, and we've seen an increase in our rural communities as well. So I'm going to be a governor that stands with our law enforcement community, and you don't have to worry that Daniel Cameron will ever make a decision to release criminals back out into our communities like Andy Beshear did, and then a third of those recommit offenses. That won't happen in a Cameron administration.
Thank you very much. Those were the prepared questions that we had for you, and we'll give you the opportunity to kind of make any other comments you would like to have at this time, and then we're going to do a little housekeeping here and give you opportunity to meet some of the folks. So any comment you'd like to make?
Well, again, thank you all for giving me an opportunity to be here this morning. Again, I hope you take it in earnest that I decided to show up and talk to you about our vision for the Commonwealth. I mean, I firmly believe together, you know, we can have a Commonwealth that makes sure that small businesses never have to fear being shut down again. We can have a Commonwealth that makes sure that our streets are safe from crime and drugs, a Commonwealth in which our constitutional rights are respected, in which we establish that culture of work, we preserve our coal industry and our Second Amendment rights, and that we recognize that we're doing these things not for ourselves or for self-interest, but for our kids and grandkids. Because that is what is at stake in this November 7th election. You all making a judgment and a decision to get involved because you care about your kids and your grandkids, and because you want to see ideals that have propelled this nation forward since its very inception. We want to make sure those ideals are preserved here, and those ideals are faith, family, and community. That is what is within our capacity if we work together, if we leave it all on the field. Mark talked about me playing football at U of L. Play again. Very generous term. Very generous, I assure you. But at the end of the day, I did learn some important lessons about perseverance, determination, hard work, and laying it all on the field. And that's what you all do every day at your farms. You lay it all on the field, you sacrifice, you pour blood, sweat, and tears into your communities. So I want to ask you to do the same in this governor's race. Lay it all on the field over the course of these next 15 weeks. Tell folks about the race. Make sure that they know when to go to the polls, knock doors, make phone calls, walk neighborhoods, because that will be the difference between setting the Commonwealth on a course that preserves those ideals I talked about earlier. That is what's within our capacity. Thank you so much for the opportunity today, and God bless you. Thank you so much.